Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope.
True freedom is shared, not hidden. If we're really free, we're sharing it. Can I tell you why some Christians are spiritually dying? Because they're not sharing the life they've been given. If you want to know, I learned a long time ago how to stay spiritually alive and on fire for Jesus Christ, you need to share and not hoard the promise of God. Testify, declare, decree, encourage. Started a series last week, Imparting Freedom, or Journey to Freedom. Today we're going to talk about imparting freedom. Too many Christians are sitting on what they have. Too many followers of Christ are not at a place where we have learned that we are to be creatures, God's creation of impartation. That we're not just to be pew warmers, that we're not just to sit, as the old saying goes, and just be sanctified and settled, but we're to be alive and well. That we're to be intentional about our walk with God. That each day when we get up, that there is assigned purpose to our life. That there is divine appointment been added. That from the time when we were created in our mother's womb, He knew who we were and He assigned His purpose to our lives. There are too many Christians today that, and I don't need to be negative, but this is just what the Lord just moved me in. Too many Christians today that are sitting back idle when we should be at full throttle. We're living a time and a season where things are moving rapid. The world is changing rapidly, more rapid than it's ever changed. Used to things traveled slow, changed slow, communication was slow. We're now at the click of a button. We can, you know, and the dial of a number, we can talk overseas. We can send and do and communicate in a very rapid fashion. But yet we sit on the opportunities, and I don't like to preach like this, but it's just what the Holy Spirit's moving me to do, because there's a challenge that's coming right now. We started this series that the Lord gave me. I've already wrote the next part of it as well, and we're going to talk about it next week, but we're on a journey toward freedom. You say, Brother John, I don't need to be free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm going to say to you that there are believers today, many of us in our lives, where we've held on and allowed and tolerated things. There are greater depths. We've sung about it all morning. There are higher heights. There's greater anointings. There's greater opportunities that you and I, right now where we've been placed in, where we're living, we realize that God has divinely appointed us to minister to our neighbors. Yes, tomorrow I'm going to start walking in the afternoons with Him. He says, it's kind of weird, Brother John, for two dudes to be walking together. Well, I'll get skinnier. And we'll build a relationship together as brothers in Christ. Sometimes you got to see the divine opportunities. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 21 through 29. At that time I commanded Joshua, this is Moses, you have seen with your own eyes all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. And if you went back, you would find it. That's King Og and Sihon. They had been destroyed by the hand of God. And Moses is telling Joshua, the Lord will do the same to all the kingdoms over there where you are going. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God Himself will fight for you. That's a sermon in itself. At that time, I pleaded with the Lord, Sovereign Lord, you have begun to show to your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and mighty works you do? Let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan. This is Moses making this request. That fine hill country in Lebanon. But because of you, the Lord was angry with me and would not listen to me. That is enough. The Lord said, do not speak to me anymore about this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and look west and north and south and east. Look at the land with your own eyes, since you're not going to cross the Jordan. But, this is important, but commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. So we stayed in the valley near Beth Peor. Now I want to go back for just a second. Joshua 1, or forward actually, a few chapters on over into Joshua. Joshua 1, 12 through 18 reminds us that the people were promised this very freedom. So when we look at this story, we see Moses wanting to advance. We know what Moses did. But then we see a commissioning begin to happen between Moses and Joshua. Now listen to what I'm about to say. We hear a promise of freedom. Moses had went so far, but now it's time to transition. I want to say to you today, we cannot just take the beginnings of our freedom like last Sunday and sit on it. We talked about last Sunday, what's the one thing we could give to God? That we don't get to where we are overnight. I didn't get overweight overnight. Somebody say amen. I didn't eat one pizza and just... I didn't lose all my hair or most of my hair overnight. Any of y'all ever seen that commercial going around, that advertisement where they got that stuff they shake on the dude's head? Supposed to like make it miraculously come back and all that kind of stuff. We were talking the other day. I'm going to get in trouble for this one, but it was still funny. We were talking the other day and Selena was joking. I'm going to get you some of that. She goes, no, I better not, because Michael will look over and look down and say, what's that stuff in your head? I didn't get bald overnight or get partially. I didn't lose it overnight. We're not going to change everything in one night, but we start a journey. That's part of sanctification. Paul said, I die daily, did he not? Come on now. So what we're doing, guys, is we're finding ourselves in a relationship with God where we're not only experiencing freedom, but we're transferring freedom. Moses continued to impart the promise. Deuteronomy 4:10. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. So Moses has an encounter. He experiences the voice, the word, the promise of God. He is leading. Now Joshua's coming up and there's a transference that has to take place. Now write these down and we'll continue to preach in a moment. True freedom is shared, not hidden, given, not hoarded. The Lord spoke that to me about 2 weeks ago, I think now. True freedom is shared, not hidden. If we're really free, we're sharing it. Can I tell you why some Christians are spiritually dying? Because they're not sharing the life they've been given. If you want to know, I learned a long time ago how to stay spiritually alive and on fire for Jesus Christ, you need to share and not hoard the promise of God. Testify, declare, decree, encourage, uplift. It's so easy to sit back and talk about the bad and what's wrong. Oh, I tell you, man, they used to serve the Lord, but now they're out of church. And then we blame the preacher. When's the last time we picked up the phone and called? I was calling folks yesterday on Saturday. It's not a job. What are you saying? When God puts someone on your heart, I called someone at 8 o'clock this morning, text someone at 8 o'clock this morning. 7:50, I text one of them at 7:50 because I was afraid they wouldn't be up if I called. Thinking of you, praying for you. Yes, God called me to pastor Mountain Gap Church, but something the Lord's been showing me lately is that we have limited the dynamic of God's moving spirit to our local churches when we're to have a kingdom dynamic. The only way to work in a kingdom dynamic and to be the body of Christ is we got to look beyond the four walls. Statistics show us that 90% of established church growth comes by personal invitation. We want events and rallies and all these types of things. And those things do cost money and there's nothing wrong with them in their right place. But somehow or another we have replaced the work of the ministry. Oh, that's good preaching. We've replaced the very mandate of God that goes on our life. And so what happens is we start dying because we're not sowing life. Well, you don't get our way. We stop sowing life. Something in life is a curveball. Doesn't go our way. We stop sowing life. Things wouldn't go in Moses' way right now. Oh, hey, that's good preaching. I said things wouldn't go in Moses' way right then. He had done all of this. He had done something he shouldn't have done. And now he's saying, but God. You know what he could have said? I ain't blessing Joshua. Forget it. I've been there. Something like, God, why can't I have my way? Sometimes I just want God to do it my way. I know none of you have ever been there. If you want to know, I'm going to get in trouble, but here we go. If you want to know the one thing that my wife and I probably have arguments about more than anything else in life, and we have some sometimes. I know y'all don't. But I do. It's one of us wanting our way. You know, I'm right. No. I'm right. No. You ever had noticed those I'm right arguments about the dumbest thing in the world? What color something is, or what year it happened. The older you get, it starts becoming about things like that, you know. When so-and-so, who's that in that picture? Well, that's Casey. No, that's Kylie. I know it's not, because I know that bed. I said that to her one day. And I know the comforter set you had, and we did, you know, and I know when we bought that bed. We want to be right. Do you remember the day that you were set free? Do you remember the day that he imparted his grace to you? I do. I remember the broken 17-year-old boy that I was, lost and messed up and had mistreated my wife that morning in a way that was unbecoming of any man. Yeah. The yelling, the cursing. And she walked out the door and was going to church without me. And I don't want to share this all this morning because I'm going to do it another day. But that was the day that God miraculously saved me and changed me. And listen, I didn't change overnight. It was a journey. It was a process of freedom. But as I grew and developed, I began to learn that to sustain that freedom in my life, I had to impart that freedom to other people. I had to share that we are made overcomers by what? The blood and the word. We can follow God's charge to Moses concerning Joshua. Three things. Commissioning. Encourage. And strengthen. Commissioning. Encourage. What are you saying, Brother John? I believe if it was good enough for Joshua, it's good enough for me. Moses wasn't getting his way right then. It wasn't going the way he wanted it to go. But ultimately, he had reached a point. He had followed the Lord in obedience to this point and commissioning, encouraging. There comes a point in our life where God calls us to strengthen. Help me out, Bruce. I'm preaching from the slides the rest of the way. Next slide, please. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 said, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people," imparting freedom. Do you notice how many times life becomes all about us? But everything Jesus is doing in us is trying to get us to look out. Jesus said what? He didn't come for those who are healthy, but those who are sick. Amen. I think sometimes we've lost sight of what life is really about, that this journey toward freedom requires an impartation of it. It requires a daily living of our lives where we hear things like this. Jesus said, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for," now we always quote it from the King James, "and I will make you fishers of men." When's the last time you fished for people? Oh, it's a challenge right now, and I love you, and you're either going to love me or hate me when this one's over, but we need it. When's the last time we saw somebody at Burger King or Dairy Queen and we just didn't get mad because we didn't get it our way? But we loved them. We went through Taco Bell last night. I like them fiery Dorito tacos. We swung through there and we said, there was me, Selena, Kylie. We want 6 fiery Dorito tacos and 2 orders of nachos and cheese. Simple. They hand me out a bag, 3 tacos. You know, I'm one of those dudes, when I go through a drive-thru, I check the bag. It's amazing to me. Get in trouble. If you work in fast food, I love you. God bless you. But when I was a teenage boy, there were things not tolerated at the fast food joint. I worked there, and it was demanded of me to do it right. When you worked at McDonald's, and you came up to that counter, I said, "Hi, welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order, please?" Happy? Put your food in your bag, double folded it, creased it. And we didn't take your fries and throw them in the bag. We set them down in there. And when you got a large fry, it wasn't filled up to a medium fry. You know what I mean? And so you handed it out with 2 hands, you like this. You said, "Thank you. Come again." Standard of service. No matter what you're doing. Standard of service, right? Quality of service. Do it right. My wife's never had trouble getting a job because she smiles, she's happy, she's engaging, and even when customers would be blessing her out at customer service across the counter because they had subscribed to some something somewhere and drained their bank account and whatever and blaming the bank for it, she'd still smile. She couldn't tell me what. I know I'm telling you two stories, but bear with me. She had someone, she couldn't tell me who, but she had someone come in one day. Wife mad about their bank account, come to find out the husband had subscribed to something he shouldn't have subscribed to. Be sure your sins will find you out. But we went through Taco Bell, and they gave us three tacos. And I said, ma'am, we had six tacos and two orders of nachos and cheese. She come back with another bag with three more tacos. This is not rocket science, man. Six tacos, two orders of nachos and cheese, please. You know? And I smiled, and I was happy. But sometimes you just want to look at somebody and say, you know what? We got to give you an offering or something for that one. But sometimes in our frustration, we stop seeing people for people. Come on, it's just real. We did something the other day that I don't know if many of you do, but I like to do. I hadn't done it in years. We lived in Albany years ago. They had a big flea market there, and I used to like to go out and walk around the flea market. Anybody be honest enough to say you like to walk around a flea market? I like to walk around. I love to see all, man, you know, tell them what you're going to find. And I like the junk food. I'm an addict to fair food and carnival food and flea market food and that kind of mess, man. Kylie's like, I don't want to be here. Can we go? I'm sweating. I'm like, it'll be all right. We drove over to Macon Saturday and walked around the flea market, and I ran in. I've forgotten his name. He goes to Bridge the Gap. He was the one who told me about the flea market there in Macon, and I actually ran into him. It was funny. He said, well, I sure didn't expect to see you here. And I said, well, I'm glad to see you. You know, we laughed and we talked for a minute, but the next thing I know, at the end of the day, or about lunch when we were leaving, headed back to Thomaston, I ran into a couple from my first pastor, our man. Didn't know that him and his wife had divorced. Didn't know all that had happened to him. Here's the point in this. You never know where you're going to see people. And my mind went back in that conversation to how we fished for their deliverance and their freedom and their victory. And I thought to myself as I left, why didn't they keep it? I think one of the reasons we lose our freedom is because we stop sharing it. It is a reminder of who God is and what He's done, and where it stirs you something deep when you see a newborn Christian. You say, I don't have the ability. I don't understand it all. I don't know it all. Can we go on to the next slide, please? He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. Next, please. And they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, He was taken up into heaven, and He sat at the right hand of God. Verse 20, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. Are you a disciple? And the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word by the signs that accompanied it. I present to you this morning, there will be a shortage of seats in this house when you and I start going out. I present to you that there will be a shortage of seats in this house. You said, well, Brother John, somebody the other day was talking, I don't know that I want our church to be that big. Listen, I lost my desires a long time ago, and I'm going to make myself very clear. I lost the carnal desire a long time ago for a mega church. What I have not lost is a desire for souls. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if you and I are really living, because we're going to stand, and you hear me now, if you're struggling with this, you're going to stand. I'm going to stand before God. We're going to, I believe, have to give an account. When's the last time we personally led someone to Christ? When's the last time we personally shared our faith? When's the last time we went out and said, I am a fisher of men? Seize the moment. Man, I'll pray for you at the drop of a hat. I don't care if I'm in a restaurant or where I am, but the Spirit of the Lord moves on me. I say, hey, can I pray for you? And sometimes I was in a hospital room the other day, and you know, nurse is standing there, and I'm like, I said, you believe in prayer? Yeah. Just happened she was one of them Spirit-filled nurses. She was ready. And she joined hands. She was like, thank you, Lord. You know, and we prayed. I don't care. I'm not going to be crazy about it and scare somebody to death. My old pastor was one of those that he'd pray in tongues in the middle of the mall in front of everybody, and everybody around was like, what in the world happened? I'm going to be led by the Lord. Fishers of men, are you a disciple? Are you a fisher? Come on now. I've never been good at network marketing programs. Got burnt in one years ago, learned my lesson, said I'm done with that. That's not me. Every time they come out with a new diet pill and something else, everybody's selling it. Don't get mad at me if you're into that. I love you. God bless you. Just not me. I got to believe. If I'm going to sell it, I'm going to believe in it. Okay? I give my wife. Oh, I better not say it. Anyway, I'm fine with Mary Kay. Mary Kay works. She's living proof. It works. I have no problem with that. Or Avon or whatever else. I like that foot cream from Avon. That's some good stuff. Here's my point. Here's my point. Are you ready? We're going to close. I have no problem sharing Jesus because I believe in Him. I used to say I could sell you a bottle of ketchup as long as I believe in it. See, that's one of the problems. The reason we're not sharing it anymore is for some of us, we've stopped believing in it. And I believe the way that belief stays alive is giving it out. Praying, studying the Word, giving it out. I used to tell our last congregation, I'll tell you as long as I'm here, in the world of communication, of social media that you and I live in today, you want to put something out there, put out the good. Put out all the good you can put out there. Share scriptures, do devotions, open up Bible studies online. That's the way the world's communicating today. I've done Snapchats where I put in a scripture and made a picture of my face and just left the duck lips out. Amen? But one way or another, I'm going to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if I take my last breath tomorrow, Brother Alton, I want to know that I gave my best. My best. Would you stand with me this morning? I think I may have one more slide, do I? The freedom which Christ gives is not silent, but it's vocal, it's active, and it's powerful. I want you to listen to that. The freedom which Christ gives is not silent. If you really have His freedom, it's vocal. Anybody ever go to a good restaurant and you want to tell everybody about how good it was? Why? Because you enjoyed it. You ever bought a car from a dealership or had some kind of encounter and it was so enjoyable you just wanted to share it because it wasn't like a three taco experience? You know, it was the good kind? Or you had a Sunday service like today where the pastor preached such a great message? I'll be honest with you, man, the anointing had already wore me out. What are you saying? True freedom is vocal, it's active, and it's powerful. I mean that. If we're not vocalizing, man, this is what God did for me. Man, the Lord saved me. Man, Sunday service was amazing. You know, you go to work, you hear somebody talking about how tough things are, and you say, can I pray for you? If it's all right with you, I'd like to put you on our prayer list at church. If it's all right with you, do you go to church anywhere? Maybe not. Invite them. 90% of the retention in the church comes from personal invitation. I don't want to fill up pews. for the sake of numbers, say, we got a house full. Oh, God, does that not get me excited? Yes, it does. But I want it to be for the right reason. I want to know we've led them to Christ. You can do this because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. These signs shall follow them that believe. Do you believe? What is the one thing? This was last week and again this week. I'm going to keep doing it until the Lord tells me to stop. What is the one thing that you can give to the Lord today? I told you this journey toward freedom was going to be gradual. Doesn't mean we're not free and saved. It means there's still things in our lives, and each time we hear the word, many times the Holy Spirit pricks our heart. It says you need to let that thing go. You might say, I never saw that before. I didn't think about it that way. But Lord, if you're asking that from me, I'll give it. I'll lay it down. There's been some things the Lord has asked of me that I did not want to give up. Not all of them are sin. Some are just distractions to your destiny. Hear me? That's going to be next week, talking about your destiny, your purpose. You can't see the purpose of God fulfilled without walking in freedom. There'll be a roadblock in front of you, it'll stop you. And God said, I'm asking you, you ever, with your children, as you raise them up, you tell them, or you say to yourself, when they reach this level, I'll reward them in this fashion. But they're not mature enough yet for that. They're not ready yet for this. But as they reach that point, you begin to release certain things and responsibilities. It might be even a little boost on their curfew. We used to tell Kylie when she was younger, she had to be in bed a certain time. Now her bedtime's 10:30, but 10:30 works because she gets up with no problem. She sets her own alarm. Any parents struggling, say amen. Pray for you that don't want to wake up. She gets up. She gets dressed. She gets ready. So I let her bedtime be 10:30. What are you saying? Your level of freedom will be equal to the achievement of your destiny. You'll never reach your full destiny if you're not walking in the full freedom that God's called you to walk in. You'll miss out. That's next week. Would you bow your heads for me this morning? I'm not going to call you out of your seats. The Lord's done a wonderful work here this morning. But it's an act of commitment and of accountability. First and foremost, is there anyone here today that would say, Pastor, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ 100%. I've never accepted Christ, but I'm ready. Maybe you've accepted Christ, but you want to rededicate your life. Would you raise your hand right now if that's you? Thank you. Who else? Thank you. Who else? Who else? Just for a moment, raise that hand. Pastor, I'm ready. Thank you. Who else? I want you to listen to me. Romans tells us that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, it's more than just the confession, it's also the faith to believe. To surrender to the fact the Holy Spirit has drawn you, that conviction has come, and there's reason behind that, and you're saying, Lord, forgive me and come into my life. Invade this area of my life. Invade all the territories of my life. Do with me as you see fit. I want us all to say this prayer. Are you ready, Lord Jesus? Come on, everybody, say it with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. I am a sinner. Come into my heart. Set me free. Forgive me. Wash me in your precious blood. From this day forward, I choose to serve you. And I confess that I am a child of the King. And you are my Savior. In Jesus' holy name. Now, if there's anyone here today that would say, Pastor, there's some things I need to surrender. With your head still bowed and your eyes closed, would you raise your hand where you are? Thank you. Who else? Thank you, all of you. Who else? There's some things I need to give up. Thank you. Who else? Who else? Thank you. One of my daughters one time, thank you, said to me, look at me just a moment, said to me, or to my wife, I don't like the fact that I'm getting so angry. I get so angry so fast, so easy, and I don't like it. I don't want it. And Selena said, baby, pray. Give it to the Lord. He'll help you. He'll teach you. Father, for every hand that was raised in this house, we decree freedom. The courage to lay it at your feet and walk away, whatever it is. The courage that should they trip or fall on their walk with you, that this area again, that they will immediately repent, that they no longer will tolerate. I said they no longer will tolerate the presence of this situation, this struggle, this issue, this area of their life which you have convicted them in by the Holy Spirit, that today is a day of the journey. It begins today of freedom. That they'll look back at some point and say, hey, that's gone, Father. They won't have to get up every day saying, I won't do this, I won't do this. They'll get up loving you and serving you and walking with you. And the more they love you, the more they serve you, the more they walk with you, they'll look back and just realize by the work of the Holy Spirit it's disappeared. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, Father, I pray over this house that we will become those who impart freedom. That we'll share our testimonies, we'll share our faith, we'll share what you've done, that we'll live it out loud. Even when we fall down, we'll repent, we'll apologize, we'll get right back up and keep moving forward. So the kingdom of God will advance, and we ourselves and our faith will continue to grow and not be dormant or stagnant anymore. In Jesus' name. Can we all say a big amen? Amen. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for being obedient to the Lord today. And we'll see you back here Wednesday night for service.
Thank you for joining us today. Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.